It's the Bugcast 13. Unlucky for some. We'll be right back.
Good morning. It is Saturday the 31st of May. It's literally a few minutes after midnight, and you are listening to the podcast episode 13, as Mark said, unlucky for some. Thanks to Mark for introducing the show this morning. Just a quick reminder, if you want to submit your own introductions for future shows, I'm looking now for introductions for episode 15 onwards. Mark is also doing the next episode, which is absolutely fantastic. I'm really chuffed about that. But let's have someone else doing them as well. Yeah, there must be some people out there that are gagging to get on the show. Okay, that first song was Anyone's Guess and I'll Call You. This track actually arrived on the Podsafe Music Network today. Well, yesterday now. So that's right fresh off the press. Got a bit of a mixed bag of music styles coming up this morning. We've got a clubby, ravey track coming up in a few minutes, and then a little bit of ska towards the end of the show, which, yeah, a little bit of difference, I think. Right, quick update on the children. You remember me saying last week we had illnesses and constipation left, right and centre. Well, most of the illnesses have gone. Kara's managed to get rid of her chicken pox now, which is really good news. However, she is still quite phenomenally constipated. It was episode 10 that I first told you guys that she was experiencing bunged upness. So it's been almost 4 weeks now since we first realised she had that problem. And we've been to the doctors, we've called NHS Direct, we've had out-of-hours doctors on the phone, we've even taken her to hospital, and they've all said the same thing: leave her for a while, you know, leave it a bit longer and see what happens. There's not a lot we can do. We've been given infant laxatives, we've been giving a bottom cream, which we've been applying for about the last week, and yeah, apologies for too much information, but she did have a phenomenal clear out about a week ago. But before that and since then, it's just been like, no, I'm not I've got written down here what it's like. I'm not going to read it out because I don't think it's fair, but no, it's not nice for her at the moment. She wakes up in the middle of the night screaming her head off. There's no build up to it, it's just absolute outright screaming, and you can see she's in so much discomfort, and it is heartbreaking. There is absolutely nothing we can do about it. And thus it would seem the medical profession can't do anything about it either, which is somewhat disappointing. With Amy, we have night terrors on our side, not on our side at the moment. Last Saturday night, I put her to bed. Oh, what was it? I can't remember now. Saturday morning. So last Saturday morning, she was... God, you know, I can't remember what it was now. But basically, I think it was on the Saturday morning, she'd woken up early, and she wanted some attention, so I went and paid attention to her. That's what it was. Forgive me. On Saturday night, at 2:30 in the morning, she woke up and said, "Daddy, Daddy." So I went to see her, and she absolutely, totally flipped out. She screamed the place down because I wouldn't let her out of her room. Well, it wasn't so much that; it's just I didn't want her to go into our room. She said she wanted to go downstairs, but obviously I wasn't allowed to do that with no one else down there. So I kind of ushered her back in her room with intent to say, okay, I'll read you a story, but then you can go back to sleep again. And she just lost it, started screaming the place down. So I scooped her up and brought her downstairs here. And I spent the night, the rest of Saturday night, Sunday morning, laying on the couch. And Amy was actually in Cara's bouncer. So I got no sleep. On Sunday night, all four of us slept in the one room because Amy just did not want to go into her bedroom. She was complaining that the there was a circle that was smiling at her that scared her. So we couldn't persuade her to sleep in her own room. Kara was having problems still, so she had to sleep between the two of us. Monday night, Amy slept in Kara's cot, in Kara's room. Kara slept in the travel cot in our room. Okay, we did actually all get sleep that night, which was nice, but yeah, tonight is the first night this week we've actually managed to get Amy in her room asleep. So it's been a whole week. Now, I'm still not that hopeful of clear through the night. So, yeah, we'll wait to see what happens on that one. So, yeah, that's where we are in the life of the Lee family this week. Last week, I hinted towards the Eurovision, said we were going to sit down and enjoy that. And we did sit down, but we didn't enjoy it. We lost the entire contest on a pathetic technicality, came last. The technicality being that there were three of us that shared the same number of points, or lack of points, but because, was it Germany and somebody else? Poland, I think it was, scored more points in a single vote than we did. Well, I think we got 8 and 6, whereas they might have got 12 and 2 or 10 and 4. They earned a higher position than we did. But going to the voting idea itself, and the fact that all of the different regions, blocks, if you like, of Europe decided to vote for each other yet again, which does raise a question about the legality of the voting. I can quite understand if the voting was carried out by a jury like it used to be in the past. That a lot of political influence could be involved. But when the public's involved, these are all televotes now. I don't think there are any jury countries still going. I think everybody's now transferred to public telephone voting. But then to suggest that the members of the public in countries are voting for their own neighbours rather than for the merits of their own songs, I find that hard to believe. So, yeah, a little bit of a conspiracy theory there. But, yeah, the Eurovision is now the Eurovision Political Popularity Contest. As Terry Wogan quite rightly said at the very end of the night, it's not about the music anymore. The BBC have already announced that they have no plans to pull out of the contest. We'll still be chucking, I think it's something stupid like £125,000 of licence fee payers' money into the event. But Terry himself has said that, or has hinted that his future as part of the show might be in jeopardy. I've also heard in the grapevine that he's going to get replaced by Graham Norton, so that's it, I'm not watching the Eurovision again. I don't know whether anybody actually watched the Eurovision Song Contest. If you had Sky, the red button option on previous years has shown you the words that the artists are singing, which is brilliant for those that are being sung in a foreign language, sorry, in non-English. But also useful for the English ones, so you can actually understand what they are saying, even though they're allegedly speaking in the same language that you do. But they had this red button host, is called Boogaloo Stew, and he was a cabaret performer. And in the end, because he just got right on both of our nerves, we just got rid of the red button and just put Pakistani Sky subtitles on, which was an experience in itself. But yeah, did we deserve to come last in the contest itself? I thought we had a really good song. I put forward my predictions for who was going to win and who could possibly win. And as always, as I believe I said last week, you turn the list on its head, and there's your losers. But no, I honestly thought that we were in a chance of getting at least in the top five. But no, it ain't gonna happen. A couple of people I've spoken to since the contest have said, you know, why should we bother putting money into this if we're not going to win? Now, I do agree with that to a point, but at the same time, that's not what it's about. We don't put money in so that we can win. What I think should happen is we're putting the money in to support the whole concept of Eurovision, and I think that's fantastic, and I'm quite proud that Britain is putting money into the Eurovision. Okay, yeah, it's only sort of four, maybe five major countries that are putting most of the money in. But I don't think that should give us any preferential treatment, as in we automatically get entered into the final. Why can't the four or five major countries that are putting finance into the Eurovision Song Contest go through the semi-final process like all the other countries do? Then that way, if we have got a crap song, or we have managed to piss off other countries in Europe, they'll knock us out of the semi-final stage, then we don't have to go through the absolute humiliation of coming last in the final. At least we got knocked out in the semi-finals, which less people would have been watching, and would be a hell of a lot less humiliating for us on the night. Anywho, my two penneth, as always. Always be interested to see what your take is on this. We're going to have a song now, and this is Trash Fashion, and It's a Rave, Dave.
Anyway,
well, it's in a secret location. You just gotta ring this number,
right? And who's gonna be there?
Well, I don't know.
So, what's it all about then?
It's a rave day. It's a rave day. It's a rave day. It's a rave day. Just lots of people in a room, spreading love and listening to tunes. It's a rave day.
So, what do I have to do then?
Just have a laugh and stand around, bob your head round up and down, stomp your feet upon the ground, to the kick drum as it sounds, throw your hands up in the air and maybe give a little cheer, go to the bar and get a beer, go speak to that dude over there,
and then my friend will sort you out, cause that's what raves are all about.
Hey Dave, see that bird over there? She's proper nice. Definitely wants it too. I'm gonna go over there, Dave. What do you reckon, mate? Dave. 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 Hey, what's the matter, Dave?
I'm feeling really strange.
Yeah, well, that's because it's a rave day. It's a rave day. It's a rave day, it's a rave day. Just lots of people in a room, spreading love and listening to tunes. It's a rave day.
So what do I have to do then?
Just have a laugh and stand around, bob your head round up and down, stomp your feet upon the ground, to the kick drum as it sounds, throw your hands up in the air and maybe give a little cheer, go to the bar and get a beer, go speak to that dude over there,
and then my friend will sort you out, cause that's what breeds are all about. La 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 la. Chill out here all night, cause it won't stop until it's light.
Yeah, whatever, Dave.
Yeah, whatever, Dave. Yeah, whatever, Dave.
You really need to go to bed, cause you're completely off your head. Yeah, whatever, Dave. Yeah, whatever, Dave.
people that really know me will understand that I absolutely hate that style of music, but I just couldn't pass up the chance to play that because I thought it was absolutely fantastic. There's a podcast I listen to called the I think it's called the Funny Music Project, the FUMP, F-U-M-P. I can't remember the address for it, but yeah, that could quite easily have come from there. Yeah, that was Trash Fashion and It's a Rave, Dave. Cracking, absolutely brilliant track. Now, violence of any form towards anything or anybody is absolutely disgusting. Violence towards children, towards animals. But whatever you read about usually in the news or you hear about locally just pales into insignificance when you read what I read earlier on today. And this comes from the Sun's website, so it must be true. And the headline is Dogs Hurled from 80 Mile an Hour Car on M25. Sick thugs hurled two dogs onto a busy motorway from a car doing 80 miles an hour. One was killed when it was hit by another car. The other miraculously survived after being plucked from the hard shoulder of the M25 by a caring motorist. The RSPCA is hunting the louse responsible, but they have so far drawn a blank. The surviving dog, a Jack Russell Terrier named Pip by kennel staff, was seriously injured. The three-year-old bitch is now back in shape, but is said to be very wary of strangers. Animal lovers are now trying to find her a new home. What the hell? What is going through people's minds when they feel it necessary to chuck two animals, dogs, out of a moving car on a motorway? I mean, sorry, that is just absolutely sick. It really is. You can compare that to some of the more serious news stories that we've heard in recent years. Madeleine McCann, Holly Wells, and Jessica. Oh, forgive me, I've forgotten her surname. And things like that. But I think even if you go further down than that, I don't think you can get much lower than physically chucking a living thing out of a moving car on a motorway. Obviously, I think the worst one down from that would be to chuck out a person, but no, I mean, absolutely, absolutely revolting. What goes through somebody's head? You know, they're going down the road, they've got the dogs in the car, think, oh, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll chuck the dogs out, see what happens. No, there must be something, you know, clinically wrong with somebody to even consider wanting to do that. Yeah, this is on the M25 near Dartford, which is on the east section. It's a miracle Pip survived such an ordeal. She was found on the motorway with her friend, another little Jack Russell, and both have been thrown from a car. Her friend was struck by a car but didn't survive. Pip was rescued when another driver stopped before anything like that could happen and took her into his care, later handing her into the RSPCA. Kim Bruce, who runs a rehoming website, I would tell you what the website was, but I've run out of blue income printer, so I couldn't. She's had a very turbulent life so far. We desperately need to find her a new home where she'll get the care and love she deserves. You've really got two completely opposite ends of the spectrum there. You've got the people who are willing to you know, action that kind of violence towards something or someone, and then you've got the other end of the spectrum where people are actually willing to stop and pick up what quite honestly must have been an amazing mess, and take time out of their life to try and rescue the life of this surviving dog. And you know, that fills me with a kind of warmth that unfortunately doesn't replace the feeling of sickness generated by reading this news story in the first place. Now, this story didn't seem to make it onto the BBC News, but I don't know. It angered me, big style. Okay, where are we? Okie dokie, yep, let's have some of this.
All set? Let's go.
And now, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the man you've been waiting for, the drum beater, the system cheater.
Do you like music, randomness in threes? If so, come and have a listen to The Random Three, which is an eclectic mix of music, a sort of musical car boot sale. Point your aggregator to www.stainlesssteelwrap.net/feed.xml. You might find something you like. Cue abrupt ending.
I have put the address to that feed in the show notes. This does seem to be the Bugcast sponsored my mark today, which is great, because it's good to have his interaction and content on the show. But yeah, that was The Random Three. It's a podcast that I'm listening to at the moment. I think he's on to episode 11 or 12, I'm not sure which one at the moment. And yeah, he plays three songs, I believe from his own collection, songs that mean something to him. And he explains why he's played them. He doesn't actually announce what they are before they're played, so you get the opportunity to listen to it without being biased by, you know, who it may be or what the style may be. But definitely have a listen to that. As I've always said with previous promotions I've done, listen once. If you don't like it, don't listen again, but at least go and listen to it once. And it's good to see that Mark is doing more audio work with his podcast. He's done quite a lot of audio comments to another podcast I listen to, and he's recently bought a new microphone, and he's getting good use out of it, which is great. So yeah, thanks for that, Mark. If you want to submit your promotions for your own podcasts, or if you listen to a podcast yourself that you think, you know, people who listen to this show might want to listen to as well, then send me a link to it or send me a file, and maybe I'll play the promotion in a future episode. Okay, we'll go on to some feedback now. I've had two pieces of feedback this week. The first one is from Leonie. Hey ho, me again. Eurovision is over for another year, and once again, the rest of Europe sets the dunce's hat firmly on the UK's head and makes us sit in the corner. Is it me, or is this when the strengthening of unpleasant national stereotypes and jingoistic bias is at its peak on this continent? Is the rest of Europe shunning us because of our former imperial dominance? And, hey, wait a minute. That's not me speaking. I seem to be channeling someone who actually cares about Eurovision. I didn't even watch it. I was just getting updates across the internet for my friend Pete while I sat here watching Star Wars parodies on YouTube. By the way, remember that glass of water I was bringing you? Well, it didn't survive. In fact, it never even made it past the end of the road, because I got thirsty about 100 yards up the road, so I gave up and came home. Sorry. All for now, your regular correspondent, Leonie, News at 10, West Suffolk. Thank you, Leonie. I appreciate the thought with the glass of water. As you can probably tell, the cough seems to have departed, which I'm quite chuffed about, because for some reason, the cough only seemed to occur when I'm doing something that requires me to talk. Like, was it 3, 4, 5 weeks worth of shows I've had the cough for? When I'm in a meeting at work, I tend to cough. And I went on a Skype conference with a couple of people after the Dumb Down Life recording from last week. And immediately I started coughing there as well, but other times I just don't. So thankfully it's gone. The second piece of feedback was from Tom, who's on LiveJournal. Short and sweet, just wanted to let you know that I've been listening. Your improvement along the way has been quite remarkable. Thanks a lot for that, Tom. It's comments like that that definitely make it worth the while. So thank you very much for those of you who have given feedback. If you want to leave feedback, I'll give you the contact details at the end of the show. Also, if you have a question you want to ask about the show, anything at all, when I get around to doing the new website, then there will be a section on there that will be a frequently asked questions, and the two questions I've already asked and answered, one of which was how long does it take you to prepare for the an episode, and the second one was to do with the telephone number that I publish on a weekly basis and the technology behind that. So yeah, I'll give you all that information at the end of the show. We've got our last song now. This is a fantastic ska track by an English band called Bomb Scare, and the track is called World Turned Upside Down. I thought I'd solved the problem of dipping volume on tracks when I switched the microphone on. Apologies for that. What a track that was! I'm quite chuffed with the selection of music today. It's been quite diverse, but very, very good at the same time. Let me know what you think of the music choice this week, because I deliberately went out of my way to choose stuff that I didn't normally play. A lot of the music podcasts you listen to, they all have the same style, upbeat, boppy music, rocky styles. And only on the specialist shows do you get the quieter and more mellow stuff, or even the more eclectic stuff. So, yeah, let me know what you think on that. For the last few weeks, I've been whetting your appetite with the possibility of starting a new show. Now, I'm not going to mention it again for the time being, because I'm getting fed up of promising and giving dates that a new show will be launched, and then not delivering on it. I have a day job, I have a life in general, and various things, work, family, kids, preventing me from putting the time in that I need to, or that I want to be able to get this new show off the starting block. So I can only apologise, and I'll let you know when it's ready. So I'm not going to promise you anymore. So you will have to be patient. Also, at the end of the live Dumb Down Live recording, which was on Thursday night, Darren asked me a question that kind of took me back. He said, when are you going to do a live broadcast of the Bugcast? And it was something that Lance mentioned a few weeks, I think maybe after the first or second Dumb Down Live. I think the first one was 20, might have been 19. We were having a chat afterwards, and he mentioned about doing a live show. And yeah, Darren mentioned it again on Thursday night. And I'd love to do a live show, just as a one-off, to see how it comes out. As I said to Darren on Thursday, the way my show is going at the moment, more and more I'm finding that what I record is what I'm uploading. If you go back to the earlier shows, I've tried to hide it, but a hell of a lot of editing went into them, where I'd be taking out sections where I've lost my track, and big pauses, or even bits that I've started to do and thought, you know, I'm not going to finish this particular segment. As it's going on, we're on episode 13 now, and I think this will probably be the first episode where I do no editing at all, other than topping and tailing, taking off the silence at the beginning of the recording, and checking to see if there's any at the end. I don't think I'm going to take anything out of this show. I think this is probably the best flowing show I've had so far, which I think I said a couple of weeks ago as well. But yeah, I will do a live show one day, and I'll have to do it in consultation with you guys to try and find out A, if you would want to listen to a live show or record while I'm recording live, but also to try and find a time that would be suitable for everybody. At the moment, I'm recording this show. I start it anywhere between 10 and midnight on a Friday night. Now, Friday night, people are either out or they're catching up on sleep or whatever, so maybe 11 o'clock on a Friday night isn't suitable for everybody. The Dumb Down Live guys, they do their recording at 9 o'clock on a Thursday. Do you know, I'm going to do it again. Go to www.dumbeddownlife.com /chat.htm on next Thursday, which I think is the 5th of June. And yeah, you'll be able to listen to the guys recording their show live. So just to see how it kind of works, I'll have a look at maybe signing up to the same streaming service they use. Maybe even ask if I can borrow theirs just for one occasion, just to see how it works, see whether I get on with it or not. Even see whether the software I'm using will broadcast to it. But yeah, a live show's not out of the question. We'll see. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can contact us as always on by phone at 020-8099-1550. You can email to bugcast@thelovebug.org, and you can also visit the website, which is at bugcast.thelovebug.org. All that really remains now is for me to thank you very much for joining me this morning, and hope everybody's well. And all being fair, we'll regroup in a week. You take care.